Me and Sara were talking about how there is seeing, there is hearing, there is touching, and then there is thinking right afterward, there is thinking. And there is different doors, six doors, and so quick, so difficult for Sati to see the nimitta of the reality and not the concept of the reality. Can you explain a bit more about Sati and how we can be aware of realities?
It's your Sati. Or Sati is not yours?
No, it's not.
So no one can make Sati to arise, but the understanding more and more, very firm, will condition Sati anytime, anywhere, of anything we don't know. By then, one can understand better about no self, no one, because it's conditioned. Like seeing now, it's conditioned. Hearing now is conditioned. Do you think of Sati at moment of seeing and hearing, or understanding that no matter what, Sati or not Sati is anatta? This is the very beginning. Otherwise, you'd like to have it. Try so much. It means that there is no detachment from clinging to the very subtle Sati. So just listen to understand. That's all. And Panya will make its own way. Even you don't want Sati, it arises by conditions.
So it has to be natural, like...
Very natural. It means that you begin to understand more about no I. There are only conditions, even for Sati, to be aware of whatever no one knows, because it has originated. This is the only way to have less and less letting go with understanding. But it's very difficult not to have the I. No matter when, it comes in instantly, as long as one forgets that it's not self. Even right now, pass away, never to return again.
And so it has to be, it takes very, very long time to...
Certainly. Not today, or this year, or this life. Just learn to become detached with understanding, because without understanding, it's impossible not to be attached to the self and the result, even of studying or understanding. People neglect this point. They just want and try. Tell them to try, and then they will try. But actually, try not to be attached, because of understanding more and more about no self, no one who can do anything. Because even the first stage of realizing the nature, which is now appear as no one, but the I is there, not knowing that seeing right now is not self. So don't expect for other moment, because even right now it's not, there's not enough conditions for Sati to arise. Until then, when it arises, there can be more understanding, more confidence on no self. That's why the listeners to the teachings of the Buddha, no matter what time, at what time, can see that there is only one way to understand that which appears now as no self, but it's conditioned. Otherwise, it cannot arise at all. Just understanding. Keep on this path. And the understanding develops little by little until Sati arises. By then, there is more confidence on no self. Very natural.
And another point is, we don't ask how can Kusala Chitta arise in between Votapanna and Bhavanga Chittas in the sense door process, because we know it just arises by conditions, even though it's so quick. And it's the same with Sati. It's the same with any reality. The answer is by conditions. It's like that. So just as Lobha can sneak in so quickly now, even in the Dharma discussion, even when discussing Dharma, so Sati can as well, just by conditions, because it's anatta. So one doesn't have to think about how it's too quick for it, or how how can it, because actually by conditions it arises, that's all.
And this moment is a test. Anytime.
Just as soon as one opens one's eye, there is people and things already. So, Akusala is right there.
So slow, very, very slow, because no one can have sati to rest at will. But it seems like one has nothing to do at all, but understanding is there or not. Because even understanding is not anyone at all. When sati arises, what do you feel? Pleasant or good or just letting go? See, before there can be moment of letting go, sati, there must be the more and more understanding. So only understand and leave the sati and panya to arise and perform their function.
And it's true that after seeing and hearing, there is thinking so instantly about the shape, the colour, the details. But if one thinks, oh, because there's thinking so quickly, therefore, how can sati arise? It's just moments of doubt and thinking. It's not understanding at that moment. Because even though there is thinking so quickly, still sati can arise. Like even at moments of kusala, there is a level of sati. And when it's with understanding of reality, it is there.
And Ajahn, just to clarify, I think a minute ago in answering Alberto's question, you mentioned an idea of I still being there. And I think you're referring to the idea of self by that. Is that right? Yeah. Rather than the thought of I or
otherwise,
me.
Otherwise, it's useless to know a lot of Tipitaka without understanding that it depends on understanding.
But there can be ideas of I and me and you without wrong view.
So until sati begins to arise and on and on and on by itself. Maybe once in a month, a year, 10 years alive, we don't mind. It means that you understand better about no self because you don't mind at that moment whether sati arises or not.
On the topic of sati, we know if we talk about sanya, for example, it has two functions, marks and then remembers. And when we're talking about sati, especially if it's sati of satipatthana, awareness of reality, so it is guarding at that moment, it's remembering to be wholesome, because whenever sati arises, it remembers to be wholesome, and it's aware of the reality in this case. Can one say that just as sanya has two functions, sati has two or three functions in the same way?
Do you have to know what moment it performs this function or the other function?
Well, we know that any moment when sati arises, it performs the function of remembering to be wholesome at that moment. So at any moment of kusala, and we know that whenever sati arises, it does have that function of guarding. It guards from unwholesomeness.
Do we have to think about it, that it's now guarding?
When it arises, it just happens.
That's why we learn a lot about everything, just to realize the moment when it arises as sati, not self.
Yes. So at that moment, okay, it's clear, because at that moment of kusala, then no akusala, so it is.
That's why without the understanding from hearing and learning more and more, there cannot be conditions for sati.
Right.
But believe or rely on the truth. Right. Sati cannot arise without conditions. And the conditions for its arising is the understanding only.
And when it is aware of the reality, when we're talking about this sati, then it has that function.
But when it arises, no need to say anything or to think about anything because it's already...
It arises and has that, just like we don't have to with Sanya talk about it, but actually those functions are there. Earlier there was a question about whether we use awareness or mindfulness, but these are just different translations because, as Jonathan said, in English we don't have the word sati in English language, but even in Thai the word that's used in common language has nothing to do with the reality of sati, which has these particular functions. So whatever term is used, it's just a word or a term. So that's why there has to be the understanding of the reality itself, no matter what word we use. Maybe in some ways it's a disadvantage to have the word in your own language, because then people think they already understand it because they're used to using it. But like with the visitor, Ajahn was saying, one has to really forget everything one thinks one knows and start at the beginning to understand what each word is, what each reality is.
Yes, actually Ajahn talks a lot about how like in Thai language they use many Pali words. For example, they use the word sati, but they don't understand it correctly.
Every word, even panya.
Yeah. They in
and dhamma, see.
Right. In Thai, usually they think that sati is what you need for crossing the road, right?
Careful not to get burnt in the kitchen.
Right. Or not forgetting the keys inside the car.
And remembering the dates when you book flights or accommodation.
Talking the other day about the Janapachya and the Janangas, and some friends afterwards asked me to say a little bit more from a basic level up, and also I checked a few more details, and Nina also asked me to follow through with these because she'd like to see if anything needs to be amended in her book. So just to start at the beginning, the word in Pali, Janangas, refers to, either it can refer to the jhana factors that arise with jhana or lead to the attainment of jhana, vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, samadhi, or the same word Janangas refers to the factors which are jhana pachya, and in this case they are vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, domanasa, upeka, ekagata. So in this case there are seven factors, and in the Visuddhimagga it talks about how is jhana, or they are jhana factors, because of one meaning is upanijhana, which is close contemplation of the object, and the second is burning up, or japana, opposing the opposite. And in the patana, it says that this condition, jhana pachya, conditions all cheetahs except the dvi pancha vijnana cittas, that is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. So it is the condition for 79 cittas during life. So now every citta, apart from moments of seeing and hearing, etc., are conditioned by jhana pachya. And the only reason for understanding more about this detail is really to just understand how anatta the cittas are now being conditioned in these different ways. And in the Patana text, it talks about how though sukha and dukkha are found in the dvi pancha vijnana cittas, they are not jhana pachya, they're not jhanangas, because these kinds of consciousness are mere encounters with the object and they don't have the aspect of close contemplation, upanijana, upanijana karasa. So this implies that at other moments, like at the other moments during the sense door process that we were talking about the other day, or like the first moment of life, the Patisandhi citta, or the Bhavanga cittas, or the cittas arising immediately after seeing, such as the Sampaticcana, Santirana, they are conditioned by jhana pachya factors such as vitaka and ekagata, but not, it is not the aspect of jhana as burning, it's the aspect of jhana, the other function of upanijana, of close contemplation. And originally I'd thought that I'd only read about upanijana in the context of attainment of jhana and attainment of with Lokutra Dharmas, like when one talks about Aramanupanijana and Lakanupanijana. But here in this context, in the Patana, it's referring to that aspect of jhana, upanijana, close contemplation with regard to cittas such as the Patisandhi and the other cittas after seeing and hearing. So it's just some small detail and just an example of checking, but I think it just helps to understand how the factors in jhana pachya are working even at this moment, even though they are not the jhana factors leading to the attainment of jhana. But the term used for jhana factors, jhanangas, is exactly the same. So we have to know the context we're talking about. So in this case, it's about pachya. And at lunch, Ajahn, you mentioned some aspect about understanding how it conditions, for example, this citta now as being like just a pinch of salt in the ocean. It's just such a small, infinitesimal degree of that it conditions, but all these different conditions lead to the arising of the citta now, and this just shows how very anatta it is. Would you like to add anything more?
Because we have to understand what is the point of understand all pachyas in detail. What for?
I think that the only point is to, like, what is the point of even having the patana? The only reason is to make it so very, very clear how every reality, every detail, every aspect of life arises because of so many different and complex conditions and no self at all to be found. So it's just to point to how anatta everything in life is.
And can there be sati without understanding the details like this?
Of course, because so, like seeing now, we don't have to know exactly. We know, for example, that seeing arises by having an object and having eye sense and having karma. We don't have to know the exact detail about how jhana pachya conditions the next citta, but not this one.
Is so, there any attachment to the idea that it should be known, or can I know?
I think the point is, for example, like in Nina's case, because she asked me to pursue this. So, of course, there's attachment to everything, but if one is writing a book about conditions, one better get the detail correct, that's all.
And how long will it take to consider that?
Well, I think one just, if one is writing about it, one doesn't want to write the wrong thing.
What for?
I think one writes about it for the for people to understand about how there are these different conditions in life. One doesn't need to have all the detail, but one adds a certain amount of detail just to show that it is now these different conditions operating. Sorry?
Doubt.
Well, they may read it and just have more and more doubt. That's true. Mm-hmm. So it depends, yes. Yeah. Depends on the purpose, yes. Like if someone, like you mentioned, for example, when a bhikkhu in Vietnam was asking us a lot of detailed questions about Pachya, and you were saying, well, if there's no understanding now of what appears, no understanding of Dhamma, what is the purpose of studying details about Pachya? And I remember one time when we were in Cambodia and a friend got all these different tables and graphs about different Pachya, and you just moved it aside because if there's no firm understanding of Dhammas, mm-hmm. it's pointless yes. to discuss all the details. Mm-hmm. Just as you say, it will just lead to more speculation and doubt. But still, if we do mention something, it should be accurate. That's all.
And the time for doubt, how long to understand reality right now? Yeah. Thinking about that yeah. and still doubt. Yeah.
Started this discussion about Jhana Pachya because a bhikkhu sent a question asking about these details. The problem is that if one just, and whether it was related to rebirth and whether it was conditioned by Jhana Pachya and this sort of thing, so that was why I was checking to try and help. And this bhikkhu is an author and needs to have the detail correctly. The problem is that if one just replies and says, oh, it's useless to know these details and it just leads to doubt and no need to write about it in your text, then it doesn't help the immediate problem.
For whom to understand? For whom?
To understand.
What is written about the details of Pachya?
Well, it's like if one reads, for example, the Visuddhimagga, and it gives the details of different Pachya, and someone will read it, and they will have doubt and questions.
Yes. And what do you think?
I think it's good to know what piece of information will be helpful.
Is it helpful?
Is what helpful?
Talking about the details.
Well, it depends on the level of understanding. So what I'm saying is what is helpful is the information that will help to the next level of understanding, but beyond that is not really.
And who is that person who can understand?
Understand.
The details.
The details. The person who has some understanding already. For me, this level of detail is far beyond what I'm capable of having any direct understanding of. But something more basic like the sense doors and that sort of thing could be helpful. So it depends on the level of understanding. But some people, Ajahn, just have the accumulations to want to...
Who?
I'm not going to name any names.
Why?
Well, because we're not being personal here, we're just talking in general terms.
But I think that the best thing is to have them have understanding, very firm understanding about no self, and it will waste time for them to just think about this and try more to understand that.
If we were
talking in Vietnam or Taipei or on Saturday and there were beginners here, then we wouldn't mention anything like that. But everyone here...
Really?
Studied quite...
Everyone.
Maybe not all too. But most people here have studied quite a bit of detail, and quite a few people afterwards asked to hear.
To satisfy their curiosity.
Maybe.
What about the writer? That's not known yet. What about the reader?
But the writer may have the accumulations to write. Someone, before they even come to the Dhamma, they may have the accumulation to write down and send around things they are interested in.
For more interest?
Well, one can't account for accumulations.
To me, I don't think that it's useful for me to know the details. Even some bhajya is enough to condition the idea of no self. Like now, for example, the seeing. Shall we talk more about the details of each bhajya? For seeing, or even seeing It's not that we should see.
But if one, for example, is writing a book about the conditions, like Nina's written a book, which is very
just to
well
understand.
Received, okay. So then one wouldn't just choose some conditions and not others. So this is the most difficult to understand Paccaya, so one wouldn't leave it out and just talk about 23 Paccaya. So that's why.
Now, what are they? See? What are they now? Paccaya for each citta right now.
Yes.
Not yet understood.
No. But if one doesn't hear anything about the different Paccaya, then by hearing, for example, if one had never heard about Aramana Paccaya and how each citta has an object now, one wouldn't know, like some people don't even know this. So by hearing and considering, then it is a condition for understanding now to understand that, yes, seeing cannot arise without visible object.
What about Visakha when she met the Buddha? Did she understand about the details of Paccaya?
No, she didn't understand about the details of Vipassana Jnana. She probably didn't understand about the details of the cittas in the sense door process. She probably had never heard of Sampasuchana.
So shall we try to help people to understand the details?
That's the question.
Yes, that's the question. It's like why talk about the details in the sense door process at all. So it depends who one's talking to. If one's talking to our beginner, then...
No, he is not from now on.
You said the other day you wanted to use it as an example.
Because so then how I long you study and how long?
Yes, so then I wouldn't talk about, if it's someone is new, about Sampaticcana and Santirana, but if I'm talking to someone who has studied and considered quite a lot...
I know that he can understand, but not as much for those who studied for 20 or 40 years ago.
So some of us have studied for 20 or 40 years, but still our level of
knowledge
of detail
is not
not so great, because people have different accumulation for the detail.
So now he's not the beginner.
I wasn't referring to him.
I refer to him.
I don't regard him as a beginner.
So how long has been studying?
It depends what you mean by studying.
Yeah, please tell him how long.
Studying about Paccaya, for example.
About Dhamma. Study.
Well, then it depends on what you mean by studying Dhamma.
Yes.
That's a good question.
Like reading books about Dhamma, right?
Well, understanding? Maybe. What about the understanding? Reading without understanding and reading with understanding is different.
So, well, I don't know if I have ever read with understanding or not. Yeah.
I think this is an interesting question. I've always felt, actually, that discussion about the reality of the present moment is the most useful discussion. But you could say that to some extent, even when this kind of detail is being discussed, it is also about the present moment.
Depending on the person.
Yes.
And who's that person who really understands?
The person, as you said, who has firm understanding, who really
can understand the details.
But can only understand intellectually.
So what's the use?
Well, we can say what's the use, but it's being discussed,
okay.
So one doesn't have any choice but to consider it.
There
really
are two books. One is Sutta, and the other is the details of Paccaya. What would you read?
Well, even the Sutta is difficult to understand.
Yes, but it can be understood.
Yes, yes, it needs commentaries.
Much more than the details of Paccaya.
But can we say also, Ajahn, that it does depend on the...
Okay, and who
I would
I?
Always go for the...
So the question is, who am I to read?
That's why I began by saying that one needs to know one's own level of understanding and what is useful for them.
Would you spend your whole life studying the details? instead of having understanding of this moment?
No.
One cannot decide to have understanding of this moment.
Yes, but what conditions? This moment.
Yeah.
Doubt about that, or understanding this moment more and more?
Right.
From the sutta and what we can understand.
Right. Well, I see that learning the details of the Paccayas would not help me much because it's very complicated to understand. But like learning the details of other things, like for example about the witty chittas, I think that's much more easier to understand, and it's helpful also to understand the present moment.
So what would you spend your time?
I will probably learn more about witty chittas than paccaya. But
even that is not easy, but it's so useful because it's now.
People think like you that maybe they're not studying paccayas. They are. Like the other day, there was some comment about, well, that is by accumulations, not karma, for example, and we were talking about the distinction between karma and accumulations. So this is talking about different paccayas. So without knowing it, one is understanding more about different conditions. And it's important to understand the difference between what is accumulation and what is vipaka, for example, what is karma.
Is each individual accumulation to have interest, whichever, you know, paccaya or vitijitta or other things. And but I wouldn't say easier than the other. It's difficult.
And I remember, for example, Ivan used to say, oh, you know, he didn't like to study the details of the vitijitas because he found it didn't help him to understand this moment. But Ajahn would say, well, actually, one needs to study and consider more details. It's not enough just to hear that there's seeing now, invisible objects seen, and hearing at another moment. One needs to learn and consider more details and how it can. So one has, as you say, one has to know for oneself. Some people have accumulations.
And even if we don't say any word about the name of paccaya at all, but understanding that this moment is conditioned, is that not enough?
Yeah, well, that's why, like the other day, we were talking about lobha and how it becomes habitual and is accumulated. We're not mentioning particular names, but it is actually the study and the understanding of paccaya at this moment.
Thank you, Ajahn Khab. When I was young, I have read about the book about conditions. At that time, I thought I understand. But when I have more understanding, I realized that at that time, I just believed the word. Like, I believed the words, and I followed the words without understanding. Just I believe this is cause, this is condition, something like that. But it wasn't understanding. So I think right now I have very low level of understanding to understand the detail of paccaya. Even now, if someone asks me what is jhana paccaya, honestly, I don't know. I can say words, but I don't.
But there must be paccaya, that's enough.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a little bit surprised about what Ajahn is saying right now, because a few weeks ago, when we were talking in the hospital, I asked Ajahn if it was necessary to learn all the details of the Abhidhamma.
As much as you can understand.
Right.
What about reading with our understanding? Is it useful?
It's not useful, yes.
So we have to consider each word, the meaning of that.
From overseas, from America, she's asking which book to read.
Any, with understanding.
Yeah, I recommended her Brahma Dharma. what she said is very, 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 very difficult for her to read. There's one Thai lady who, when I last went to see Sarita in New York.
Which book did you read? Survey of Paramahadharma.
In Thai. So I recommend it.
Would she like to make it easy?
Yes, that's what I told her. I said, this book is not for just reading to, you know, have to read until, like, I don't know how many lives. It's difficult. Like, even for me, we're now in the group at the Bobay. We start reading Paramahadharma. And it's so difficult. We have to break into words by word, and it's too difficult to understand.
Yes. And if we think that we have to answer each question, that's wrong.
Yeah, we have to really understand what it is. Each
and the
one.
Use of it.
Right. So we had two Vidyagon that helping, so it's very good.
So for her reading surveys, like for Peter reading some touchier details, so it depends on the person's understanding, and sometimes people, they just want to read cover to cover, maybe more useful to just read a few lines and reflect on it, and so it depends. Like for me, this is quite interesting and useful, but for someone else it's meaningless.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Also, I think that the details of Pachaya are like they come after like the details of the characteristic of realities. So it's like enrolling on the university for the university degree without having like the basis. I don't think.
Definitely, if one's talking to someone who doesn't. Like the gentleman who visited, who doesn't understand about nama and rupa and thinks there can be awareness of breath now and thinks there is an eye that can follow a practice, for example, it's totally useless to talk about any kind of details. That one has to begin with the understanding of dhamma and the understanding of nama and rupa and anatta, otherwise nothing else. It's like putting on the fancy parts of the roof of a house when there's no foundation at all. It's of no value.
To study more details of like how witty did work, actually it's not the our panya, it's the Buddha's panya, right? So the reason we study the details is because so that we know that there's no us in there. But each Dhamma arising and falling away and doing their function.
What's the point of study the teachings of the Buddha?
To understand the...
But when it brings doubt, is that the point?
Yes.
No.
No. Okay, sorry, I misunderstood something, yeah.
But what's wrong with doubt, Ajahn? Because doubt makes you think and reflect.
Would you like to have more doubt? What's the answer? What's wrong?
I would like to have more. But sometimes understanding comes from doubt, no?
Really? So doubt a lot. So you have panya a lot.
Chronologically, yes, but not cause and effect. Well, in order. Doubt precedes the understanding, but it doesn't give rise to the understanding.
Give what?
Doubt is sometimes followed by understanding,
right.
But it doesn't cause the understanding.
Yes.
How?
How what, John?
How can it bring understanding?
No, I said it doesn't bring.
So?
I just said sometimes it happens first and is followed by understanding, but it doesn't cause the understanding.
But when there is no understanding at all, can there be understanding to arise?
No.
After doubt?
No.
It's not the condition.
It's not a condition for understanding. But people think it is because sometimes there's doubt and then afterwards there's understanding, so they make a connection which isn't real.
That's why it needs understanding anyway.
Exactly.
And that's why it helps to understand the conditions. So, like, if you think that the doubt could be good because it could help one to consider and bring understanding, that's not understanding the conditions for understanding.
Otherwise, you don't need anyone or teacher because you have doubt. And then later you will have right understanding.
When we think we know already, and we have no doubt about what we know.
Wrong or right?
Wrong. We know, we understand, we know wrong, but we think we know right. And so we have no doubt about anything, so we just continue.
But you have ignorance.
And also, I think that's almost a definition of wrong view, isn't it? We know wrongly, but we think we know rightly. That is the definition of wrong view, in fact.
Only one thing that Pakkatupanisya-pajya includes everything. Even akusla can condition kusla, but not akusla itself, but it conditions the moment to have understanding because of wanting.
Everything is actually conditioned by ignorance in this way, so it's a very complicated and deep condition. So in this way we can say that ignorance or doubt or anything can condition understanding, but not directly.
I think if someone have wrong understanding without doubt, or someone has doubt, it's just the different kind of akusala. It doesn't bring more understanding. Only the Buddha's teaching bring right understanding more and more, in my opinion. Like, it's not the cause. Even you don't have doubt, but you have wrong understanding. You have ignorance.
For example, you want to have understanding, right? That's the condition to find the right way or the right words. By Pakkatupanisya-pajya only.
Explaining that there is a circumstance in which akusala can be a condition for understanding. And the example is when one wants to have understanding.
Yeah,
so that's why she's saying it's Pakkatupanisya.
Yeah, but I don't know what... As my understanding of Pachaya is very limited.
Oh, okay. Natural.
But remember this verse and then you understand better. By one's life, very natural. What condition what?
Pakkata
and Upanisya will become Pakkatupanisya.
Yeah, that
means like
natural.
Right. Uh-huh.
But what means natural decisive condition? I mean, what is a natural condition? I don't understand.
Which other way could it be? If you don't want to understand anything at all, it doesn't condition to find the right words. But by having just the want to understand, it will bring the way to have the right teachings, but not for all, only for some people. Actually, Pajya is no one. If you want to go to the meditation center, no understanding. But for the person who wants to really understand, will find that. What about the other way or other words about that? Which is not just do this or do that.
So this is actually the broadest condition, because almost every moment of kusala and akusala now is conditioned by this condition. So when we talk about accumulations or habits or tendencies, it's referring to this condition. Like, why in the middle of a Dharma discussion is one suddenly annoyed about something? Pakkatupanisya-pajya, because of that tendency for annoyance. Yes, or why is there attachment to studying the details? Because of Pakkatupanisya-pajya. So normally we talk about the tendencies accumulating, but actually by this condition, the attachment condition, understanding, or someone may perform great kusala, great act of generosity, and then it can be a condition for so much attachment to that kusala performed. So this condition, it actually is the main way of explaining why the kusala akusala moments arise now as they are.
Pakata means done regularly, like kata, done often. So it becomes habitual.
It does help to understand about conditions little by little, like why is someone may come here and there's some appreciation of what is being said and some understanding. Someone else may come and have no interest and be totally bored by it and not come again. So all depending on Pakatūpa Nisiyapachya for that interest at this moment. Why interest in this but not in that?
So it sounds like a synonym for accumulation.
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we talk about accumulations, which you've heard a lot about, actually we're referring to this condition. Yes. And that's why there's nothing surprising in life, why at this moment there is kusala and not akusala, or why suddenly there's an outburst or someone's upset about something. So it helps to be more understanding of what is conditioned now, and the same for others. Anything can arise unexpectedly because of this condition. Talking about the tendency for drinking. No one would like to have this habit, but there is that tendency, that accumulation there. So even though one makes resolutions or one wouldn't like to have it, if there are conditions for that kind of lobha, then it arises. So all the conditions are really just to show how anatta this very moment is, this citta now, this chetasika arising now.
I suppose listening to the discussion today, I've often picked up in your book, and I still read it, still think about it, still try to understand it, and still not entirely clear to me at certain aspects, and I value the opportunity always to talk with you about it. And therefore I'm thinking, you know, listening to what's been said today, it's going to depend on each individual to a certain extent. I realise that. And there are some people who ask questions that, from what you seem to be saying, Ajahn, are not really helpful for them to grow wisdom. That's what you seem to be saying to me. So you're saying really that certainly it's good to understand, that's why you wrote the book. You had, oh, no doubt, a very good reason, because you wanted to help people to understand the Dhamma. And so you spent, obviously, a lot of time considering how best to do that. And there are many people, certainly including myself, that find it very, very helpful. And you were saying one time when we spoke in the hospital together, that the more nuanced your understanding is, the more helpful it is to grow Dhamma, or something like that. And certainly when I hear Kunsera asking questions, which to me, for me, are well beyond, I'm interested, I'm curious. So then I'm thinking now, what you seem to be saying is a point. There is a point where we should not ask, or there's a point where we must make sure. Yes, I know you're saying we must not forget the reality of the present moment and learn to grow wisdom in that moment, which we mostly forget about and we have a lot of ignorance about. So you're going to say that a lot depends on the person who's asking the question. This is what I'm hearing you say, Ajahn, because I think I know who the person was who perhaps ask Kunsera that question, and I was following it online and I found it really interesting and helpful to a point. When somebody asks a question, you know, sometimes a very sophisticated question and very detailed, which will require a lot of details and a lot of previous understanding, at least of a theory, you would say to that person usually that this may not be so helpful if I answer this. I'm realizing I'm a bit long-winded here, but I suppose I'm trying to deal with partly my confusion and also how much of the Dhamma or how much of Pariyatti is useful. Not like you asked the question, and I, you know, you asked about Visakha, and you know, of course, we know she was only 7 when she became enlightened, and obviously she didn't have a detailed understanding, but probably because of her accumulations, she had obviously a lot of accumulated wisdom. So, and when some people came to see the Buddha, he probably did answer these questions, can we say?
When it's useless.
When it's useless. No. He wouldn't answer when it was useless. He would answer only when it's useful. And sometimes he did not even
speak. For that particular person.
Yeah, for that particular person. So you're saying we should exercise a lot of discretion, really, a lot of the time when people ask questions.
Because you see that from hearing and reading, it doesn't bring the understanding.
No.
Because there is the idea of self all the time. So I think that, first of all, there must be very firm confidence on no self, no one. There are only realities. That's why we read about the citta from the moment when it arises as Panchadvara Vachana, to see that how can anyone know that the way Dhamma is just conditioned, because they cannot be just seeing at once, but there must be citta before that. So we understand the reason for each one better than if I know, but I will talk to them as I know that's wrong, because I better help them to understand rather than talk about my understanding. That's useless. No use for them at all.
So if you know, because you were saying just then in your answer then, Anjan, that if they have got strong confidence, that...
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we know that some people, they may even be ordained, and so they have a certain degree of confidence.
With understanding?
No.
So it's useless.
No. Yes, useless. Well, it's just probably, yeah, probably not helpful, is what Richard said.
I think it's the opposite effect, actually. You may think that because you're ordained, and it means that you have confidence, and that's a condition for understanding, but it can actually be the opposite. How do you say? Contraproductive? Contra something like that, right?
Counterproductive,
yeah.
Not on that point, but just on something that Sundara mentioned about the discretion in answering questions as being Ajahn's message. I had a slightly different impression, so which perhaps I could mention. I thought the emphasis was on discretion in asking questions, in bringing up questions of detail.
I'm not quite following your point, Jonathan, sorry.
You understood from what Ajahn said that the message was discretion in answering questions.
Yes.
The impression I had was discretion in asking questions, in seeking to know details that are beyond one's level of understanding.
Yes. I think I get your point, but there are some people who, like, I think I understand the kind of discretion you're talking about, but some people don't realize that they haven't got that discretion and they think they have. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the occasion, like we've been in Vietnam when bhikkhus have asked very detailed questions and you know that really there isn't any basic understanding, but sometimes one has to give an answer that is satisfactory to them to a degree and then bring it back to this moment and question the value of it. If one just says, I'm not going to answer that, we're just going to talk about seeing now, then they may walk out. So it's finding a what is helpful for them at the time and bringing it back to this moment and to a level that they can understand and stressing what is of greatest importance.
So what you seem to be saying there, Sarah, is that you're trying to be as compassionate as you possibly can because you realise it's a rare opportunity to hear the Dhamma, and we don't, and you don't want to make, we don't want to perhaps discourage them.
Put them off.
Yes.
But compassion has to be accompanied by,
even though you try to follow a little bit their topic before coming back to the topic about the present moment, they might also walk out either way, right?
Anything can happen by conditions, but actually the aim is to come back to this moment and help anyone to understand the basics and understand about dhammas and anatta in the beginning. But yes, how one approaches it depends.
Right now I remember the day at the hospital when I asked Ajahn about learning the details of the Abhidhamma, and I gave like an example, Shariputta, that he didn't need to know anything about Abhidhamma. He just heard two phrases, two sentences, and then he became enlightened. And Ajahn told me, but what about his past lives? Right.
Sariputta, when he did hear the Buddha teach all the details of the Abhidhamma, he could understand it all in detail because of those accumulations from aeons ago.
But somehow I feel that the message today regarding Visakha and the message in the hospital regarding Sariputta is almost like the opposite message, because this time is emphasizing, talking about Visakha is emphasizing like we don't need to learn complicated things or many details in order to have understanding. And the other time when we talked about Sariputta, what I understood was that when Ajahn said that, asked me what about his past life, that meant that, he didn't have to study it now, but he studied it before. So if I want to become Sariputta or be enlightened one day, then I have better start studying the details. Yeah.
Actually, it depends on the context, because people say, oh, Bahia just met the Buddha and became enlightened, but yeah, he'd studied a lot of detail,
so
a lot of
value. Well, we'll wait until then. Like the details, it's not in this life. What about next life? What about next life? The same or more understanding, the details. We don't have to wait, we don't have to hope or want to be such, but whatever can bring understanding of no one here, no self at all, only some of his word, we think carefully, like all dharmas are anatta. See, just that sentence, all means now and whatever, which no selection at all. It depends on whether there's condition to have awareness arise or not. Not just a try to know the details before there can be such moment.
On the point of complicated detail, I think there's no doubt, because the Dhamma is very deep and detailed, and so at some point,
yes,
and complicated.
Yes.
And so at some point there is a need for very deep and detailed knowledge. But it's a question of what is appropriate for one at one's present level of understanding. And so Jan said there's no need to wait, but there's no hurry either. There can only be so much development of understanding in a given lifetime. And a lot depends on the circumstances. One might find oneself in a situation where people around one are discussing detailed matters of Abhidhamma, so one does absorb some information that way. But what's important, I think Ajahn is saying, as I understand her to be saying, it's important to appreciate what level of detail is helpful for one's present level of understanding.
I think I have heard Thanachan say it, as much as you can. It means the question, who am I, is very useful. You know the level of your understanding. And if whatever you study, if it bring more doubt but not more understanding, it's useless. But if you can understand about it, you can learn more and more. And I think Than Phasaribut, he had accumulated one asongkhai and 100,000 kap. So he was so different from us.
I mean, don't wait until you have more understanding about the details.
The other day, Jan was saying that after she had studied with a teacher, afterwards she was interested to read the text and check the details and see what was right and what the Buddha really taught. And I have that kind of interest too. I like to study the details or read the text. I never thought I should study in order to have more understanding, or I better read about the conditions. It's not like that at all, but it's just accumulations. But actually, there's no rule at all about it. It just depends what's useful at the time. I never think today I better read the Patana instead of reading the newspaper. I like reading the newspaper too, and I don't think that one is Dharma and one is not Dharma, because seeing is seeing, whichever time or whether I'm here or not here. I don't think I need to be at the foundation for understanding it. So it just depends on the occasion and the accumulations, and it comes back to the understanding at this very moment, to know what is the motivation or what is the interest or what is useful. I remember the very first time I read Abhidhamma in daily life, I just skipped the chapters on Bhavanga Chittas and processes because it just wasn't of interest. But now those details are of interest and relevance. So what is useful one time may not be useful at another, and vice versa. So like if one's talking to someone about accumulations, in the beginning one doesn't mention Pakatupa Nisya Pachya, and one certainly doesn't talk about Jhana Pachya, but gradually one learns a little more, because it's relevant to daily life now.
It doesn't mean you don't study anything or don't study about very deep or complicated of the Buddha's teaching, but you study whatever can bring more understanding of no self. And if you have more right understanding, you will honest to yourself what level of your understanding.
And no one knows the other's accumulation. It has to be oneself.
People often quote the example of Chula Pandika rubbing the white cloth and saying, oh, you just need to rub it. But he also, from his past lives, had studied so much Abhidhamma, so much detail in intricate ways, but just the Buddha knew his accumulation or what is helpful at that moment.
But we still don't know the details for this person or that person.
But we also don't know it about ourselves, right?
When there's panya, panya knows, not you know.
And that's why when we're helping the other, like whether we answer the question or don't, or we just do our best according to...
But do you think that they would stop at that? No more curiosity?
Sometimes when people have more and more understanding about the realities in daily life, the questions become more relevant now. Like I remember one friend in Vietnam, all his questions the first time were about devas and some strain nibbana, and but then started coming each time, and gradually the questions are more about the realities of daily life. So of course there will still be curiosity, but one begins to appreciate that studying the Dharma is more precious to ask and understand about Dharmas at this moment.
So for them, they have to begin to have real understanding, not just think that one understands.
Like we gave a copy of a book to a staff member at our hotel who had some interest, and he said he was going to go home and read the book, and the next day I asked how he got on with it. This was Nina's Buddha's Path. And he said, oh, he straight away read the chapter on Nibbana. So this is, in the beginning, this is the kind of thing people want to hear about because of their curiosity. But gradually, if there is more understanding, then they begin to realize it's far more precious to understand about seeing now or hearing now.
Actually, when there's more understanding, the last chapter you want to read is the chapter about Nibbana. And now that when Pete was saying that Shariputta is very different from us, right? But I think in one moment he was the same like us.
He has to study from zero like us. You mean, right? Yes, of course.
Not from zero, but from very little.
But we cannot do that because we have no accumulation like Sariputta.
But Sariputta in the past, one day he was like us also.
Yes, but what about when it goes on time? Go on and on, see, different accumulation.
I'd like to hear the explanation a bit more from you about to see the danger of samsara. What, like now, we come here to have a discussion, study Dhamma every Saturday or whatever. Is this, we see the danger of the samsara what or not? Or...
It depends on how much there is understanding. For example, like the three kinds of vedana, which is dukkha. The first one is dukkha-dukkha, everyone knows. What about the second one? Sukha is also dukkha, by way of its change all the time. You see that we were born and then we like many, many things. Never enough.
Never see the danger.
Never, never crave for this and that. And after this, next one come. All the time. Is it good? And this is dukkha. Just to experience that which is pleasant. That's all. So for dukkha, no one knows and understand that no one likes it to arise at all. But crave for sukha. And never enough. Very tired to just have this and then more and more and more and more. Changing all the time. Why not just one? Impossible. That's not the danger. That is the danger of clinging to samsaravata, because samsaravata is every moment. Without one, it's not samsaravata. So learn to understand that it's so tiring to just wanting and wanting. We have that. Not enough. New one coming all the time. From this life to next life. On and on and on. If there is the understanding of this, there is the beginning of to be tired of sukha. It's just a moment, that's all. As long as there is only the understanding of dukkha-dukkha, everyone knows, but as self, that is not enough. But when it's sukha, everyone wants to have it, but just for a moment it's gone, and never enough. So we go on living from life to life. That's why there must be understanding of dukkha stage by stage. If they still like today, very much enjoy the food, lunch, and so on, how can the seeing the danger of just arise to like, to be attached, is useless because that's gone from moment to moment. But it has to be like this as long as panya is not enough to understand from now and then no more, and then thinking or understanding again and again and again. It depends on understanding the moment when it arises. When it arises, it's not the experiencing directly as not self, but it will bring later, little by little. Otherwise, if there is no thought about this, like this at all, we still cling to life and samsara.
And we go on thinking, like we learn elsewhere, just we think of dukkha just as painful feeling or something like this, but actually don't appreciate the pleasant feeling, the sukha, as dukkha too, because it's just as impermanent. And
that is not enough. There must be the other dukkha of sankhara, see, of everything, not just like that. Even wanting to understand this or that, or to do, or to go, or whatever.
Thana Chan, when I talk to my friends or my sisters, and sometimes they have like terrible things in lives, and they said like, "Oh, I don't want to be in samsara anymore."
So there must be the understanding of anatta from the very beginning, and understand that all dharmas, as long as it's not all yet, it's impossible to letting go the idea of self. It's still I, see?
And this not wanting it and just wanting a break, this is not what is meant about being bored or tired with samsara, or really seeing the danger of sukha or pleasant feeling or whatever is conditioned now, because it's impermanent and just the object of clinging that brings more and more.
Yes, I agree with that.
Disturbance.
Because I asked them that, what if you are happy all the time? Do you want to be in samsara? And they said yes.
All the time to nothing.
So the most important thing to study Dhamma is just to understand what is appearing now, which is, this is dukkha. Seeing now, hearing now is dukkha. It's hard, it is very subtle and hard to understand. See? So the first noble truth the Buddha pointed out is dukkha ariya satya. So whatever arises and falls away is dukkha. See? Should be known, should be understood. What about other doubt about what is not appearing now? It's useless.
Yes, I think when someone says, "I don't want to be in samsara," is from dosa vilajjita. It's not right understanding, because they just want to leave.
And it's like when we're talking to beginners or in different places, everyone wants to know about, has questions about dosa. What shall I do when I have so much regret, or my husband's jealous, or I have this painful experience? Everyone wants to get rid of dosa because of I. But no one says, I've got this problem of so much sukha in my life, or how about the problem of seeing or hearing now, or too much panya now. But actually, each panya, each seeing, each moment of sukha is dukkha, is unsatisfactory, and it is dangerous. So this is the danger of life in samsara.
And it would be very surprising if you say, you don't have to do anything at all. Yeah.
What did you mean, anything?
Will you do?
What can you do? What can you do? Yeah.
Where?
If you have a lot of dosa, if there's a lot of dosa now, what can you do?
You
can't do anything.
You're
telling him the answer.
You mean to get rid of it,
yes,
or what to do?
What can you do to get rid of it?
Whatever.
How do you deal with it?
What would I do with it?
To deal with it.
How would I deal with it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't tell him the answer.
Myself, not myself. I will just accept it.
I will.
Well, acceptance. I think acceptance has to. There can be acceptance through understanding or through, but right.
So can I deal with it? Can you deal with it? Can
no.
you have understanding?
Well, there's
can you have acceptance?
No, I mean through conditions, yes.
So, no one can do anything about it.
Right.
No one can have acceptance. No one
right.
can make understanding arise.
Right.
No one can deal with it in the first place.
So, there's no way or what?
There's what?
No way to deal or what? To do what?
Well, the way is understanding.
So, let's have understanding from the teachings of the Buddha only.
When Ajahn says this is our what for those who see the danger of life in samsara, well, most of the time there's no seeing of any danger of life in samsara.
Like lunch this afternoon.
You're looking for dinner.
I'm looking for next Tuesday lunch for everybody already.
Not enough, never enough. That is dukkha.
Testing one of the most difficult dharma to understand, right, Sanjang? Or everything is, it depends. No, food is very difficult. No?
Not enough, never enough.
Never enough, everything, never enough.
And so many different cheetahs, moments of kindness, moments of attachment, moments of I, moments of sukha, moments of forgetfulness, so many different cheetahs. Actually, each one just a moment in samsara and gone completely. What's happened's happened, no point thinking about it. Just a dream or an idea about what happened at lunch, but actually all gone. Just thinking now only.
Can you do?
Oh, I see.
Yes.
But once I told Ajahn that we didn't need to do anything, but Ajahn said, no, that's not correct.
What's wrong? What's right?
I think what Ajahn meant was that understanding has to be developed. It's not just stop doing everything.
Not by you. Life goes on
right.
by conditions.
The other meaning is that there's no one who can
mm-hmm.
who can understand.
This is the point. Otherwise, it must be always I.
I was just going to add the idea of doing something and the idea of not doing something are both the wrong, not the right approach. Yeah.
And life goes on as it always has. You book your accommodation, you eat your lunch, or you make your mistakes. You don't have conventional sati. You pick up the microphone, but in reality, no doing at any moment. No one who can do anything. Just citta, chetasika, and rupa. That's the point. Because sometimes people have the wrong idea. They hear about dharmas as anatta, and then they say, oh, well, there's no point going to work, there's no point doing
yeah.
this, and it becomes like an excuse for just nothing or doing nothing or
But that's wrong understanding of attitude.
Someone said, I can do any bad things because no self.
Or somebody can say, I can just continue my normal daily life without need to learn anything also, right? And that's a way of not doing anything, because you just continue with what has been natural for you always. Yeah, with that.
To hear any more details or come to the discussion, because I've heard about seeing invisible object and it's enough, and I know all of that already, and so there can be any kind of excuses.
Tan Ajahn Kap, it's very easy to go the wrong way, Kap.
Do anything.
No one who goes the wrong way, just moments of wrong view that arise by conditions and fall away instantly. Any way to avoid dukkha at this moment?
By the will of us, of some kind of entity.
Do actually, you mean that dukkha arises all day?
Every moment is dukkha.
Can we say dukkha arises?
It's a characteristic
of dhammas, right? It's just a characteristic of dhammas. Yeah. All dhammas are dukkha.
My dukkha. So much. Is there any term, dukkha vipalasa?
What?
Is there any term, dukkha vipalasa?
Mami dukkha vipalasa.
Mami lulika. It's the truth, not vipalasa. There is sukha vipalasa, but never dukkha vipalasa.
Kotona.
This one goes to the meditation center, and then it's dukkha
vipalasa.
I'd like to ask this question here that's not so clear to me. It's to do with Pithi, and
I'll be careful with this question.
Well, okay. It's regarding the 89 system as opposed to 121 chittas. There seems to me to be a discrepancy. Reading here about piti, I'll just for everybody's benefit a little bit. Piti is delighted, satisfied, and thrilled, and therefore it can only arise together with pleasant feeling. All right, and with other kinds of feeling, not with other kinds of feeling, excuse me. Enthusiasm or rapture arises together with 51 types of citta, which are accompanied by pleasant feeling, namely the 18 types of kamavacha cittas. We don't need to go into all those, but what I'm interested in is, by way of the first jhana, there are 11 types. Now, then in the second jhana and the third jhana, because it mentions that piti is in three jhanas. So, when we look at the difference between 89 chittas and 121, there's extra 32. Correct, Ajahn? There's extra 32 chittas.
The makkha with jhana
makes it. Yes, there's 32. So, when they
talk. 40?
Well, there are. Well, I understand that there the difference between 89 and 121 is 32. So that just leaves 32. Correct?
I'm not good on.
Oh, I see. All right.
Calculation.
Well, what I'm confused by is that if PT is arising in three of them, it's still two jhanas to go. And it doesn't make any sense to me. There's some discrepancies here, but quite apart from that, I'm trying to figure out how how can PT arise with three jhana chittas when there's only 32 extra. It doesn't add up to me. I'm trying to...
What feeling is better than sukha?
No, PT. I'm talking about PT.
Yes, because PT arises with pleasant...
Yes, only with pleasant feeling. So it will arise with... in the first three, or the first two, or the first three jhanas. Is that right, correct, Jhana? Well, you've got, when you look at those jhana factors, PT will arise in the first three jhanas, not the last two, or depending on what...
counted as four or five.
So, but there's only 32 extra jhana chittas, and... I can make it for another time, but it doesn't seem to add up.
Five jhanas with eight.
Yes, that's true, but yes, there are five jhanas, but sometimes there is the fourfold system.
By way of how we count.
By way of how we count.
Yes.
But, yes, I understand that, but what I'm trying to say is that PT can only arise with either two jhana factors.
Can PT arise with upekha?
Yes.
Piti?
Has to be a pleasant feeling.
Yes, but
piti arise with upekha feeling.
Okay, perhaps I'm confused here. So if we look at those jhana factors, you've got vitaka, vichara in the first jhana, and depending on whether or not you use the...
It depends on we count by way of four or by way of five.
By way of five.
Because some people can... not have the vitaka and can have vitaka too, and vichara only sometimes only one, sometimes two.
That's
depending
right.
on the person.
Yeah, that's right. So perhaps in the second jhana they may not have vitaka and vichara, but there will be by way of the fourfold system there will be by way of the fourfold system, there won't be PT in the third jhana, correct? There'll be only in the first
It depends
two jhanas.
On feeling, because PT cannot arise with upekha. Whenever it arises...
All right, yes, okay, all right, yes. I'll perhaps leave it at that, because that's given me some understanding of a certain point, but then I can think about it more. Thank you, Ajahn.
A good example, so it just depends on the occasion, how one responds, how one answers. We were talking a bit about PT earlier because people often assume or talk about PT like I mentioned, friends often used to say when they go to India, oh, so much PT, and people assume it's kusala, piti, but usually piti, which arises is with attachment. So when one feels so joyful to be at the foundation or to see a jhana, is it kusala or akusala piti? So
that's a really good point, and that's I think one of the valuable things of learning Dhamma, because when we read about somanasa, it's either with lobha or it also can be with kusala, and that's valuable even at that level to understand that. So that level of pariyatti is very helpful. But you're right, especially when it comes to piti. And I used to think that too myself, that piti is kusala.
Whenever they open the Dharma book and there's piti, that it must be kusala. But these are just assumptions. So it all comes back to the understanding at this moment. The day about sankhara and asankhara dhammas, so prompted, unprompted, strong, weak. Usually, like we're talking about, for example, the citta with pita arises.
Usually, we talk about kama vajra citta.
Kama vajra cittas. And we can say that one is strong and one is weak, or one is prompted and one is unprompted, but actually, in life, usually there are different shades of grey. there's usually a continuum, so it's not like it's either strong or weak. Like if someone says, come and have lunch, there may be strong lobha or weak lobha, but usually it's something in between. So it's difficult to, when we just categorize
when
all lobhas.
When you say something in between, do you mean what kind of citta?
What I mean is, like, if we say that citta with lobha is prompted or unprompted or strong or weak, but in between means actually it's in between strong and weak, or in between prompted and unprompted. So
it has to be either one.
Yes, I know, but that seems very black and white for actually the reality that's arising now. Like, is the PT arising strong or weak, or prompted or unprompted? We know from our study it must be one or the other, but usually there's often something in between.
Like now, is there something in between seeing and hearing?
Not between seeing and hearing, but
yes.
Whether the, but whether the PT or the lobha.
Because what is there must be understood,
yes.
That there must be something in between. But when it's not reality, just say in between,
yes.
We cannot find out the truth.
Okay, by in between, I mean that usually, for example, the degree of lobha, we know actually it must be either rising with asankarika or sasankarika citta at that moment. It must be prompted or unprompted. But often,
excuse me, for moha mula citta, what are they?
Well, that is different, because I don't think that we talk about asankarika or sasankarika for moha. So that doesn't apply. But if we're talking about, like, dosa, whether it was prompted by another word and whether it's strong or not, well, it seems that often it's neither strong nor weak. But we know it must be from the text.
That's why it does mean that we should know exactly what is this citta, sasankari,
no, or impossible
asankari.
To know.
No one can persuade the other to have avijja.
Just heard recently too that difference, sometimes sasankarika and asankarika, it can be, not that the words are not the important thing, but I think it's a very good translation, persuaded or unpersuaded,
mm.
as opposed to prompted and unprompted. I like, mm. to me that feels better. Then,
and that persuaded can be by one's own thinking too, not necessarily have to be anyone else. One can, at the moment of seeing,
and
the
what
food,
is stronger?
In what is stronger? Well, it will always be the unprompted one.
Unpersuaded.
Yeah, unpersuaded.
Unpersuaded.
Well,
I'm not sure I like that term.
Well,
because it seems to refer to the individual rather than the mental factor. And unpersuaded, as we know, means I'm not convinced.
By conditions.
By conditions.
One other phrase I heard you mention, which I just wanted to ask about, you mentioned that good deeds can prolong life, a condition like idipada. Good deeds can prolong life, a condition like idipada. So I wanted to know what you meant, but you know.
There are many conditions.
Yes, yes, a condition like idipada.
Uh-huh.
I don't know,
so
whether it was meaning kusala chanda or kusala panya, perhaps. So maybe it was referring
because
to
because you see there are many conditions for death mm-hmm. to happen. So we don't know that, which
no.
is very complicated.
Yes.
Because there are not only one karma, but so many karmas who can perform different functions, like to support
yes.
or to...
And we can see even the Buddha's life
mm-hmm.
was
yeah.
not as long as
mm-hmm.
yours, so
mm-hmm.
it's so many good conditions.
Yeah.
That's why it was a little strange.
As much as we can say, it's by conditions.
Yes,
yeah.
Usula cittas may be a factor, like you said, just the concern to share Dharma, as condition to take one's medicine.
Never know.
So many different factors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure you know this anyway, Sarah, but I think it's because I was just reading this only last couple of days, that I believe there are something like 16 different times that the Buddha gave opportunities to Ananda to allow him to live longer, but he didn't take up those opportunities. So there were many, many times, and even though Ananda asked him that last time, he said no. He made it very clear that he had given him many opportunities, and he said, that is your fault. I thought it seemed to me rather harsh, but he said to him, that is your fault.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know how it's true, but I've heard it said with all the Buddhas that whatever, because sometimes they can live up to, well, in our particular Kapha, it's 100 years of age, but in other Buddhas, it's sometimes up to 1,000 or 10,000 years that they live, it seems. But they only live 80% of their Kapha's. So it seems that no matter, different conditions, but I was interested too that they never live the full Kapha. They only live a percentage of that Kapha, 80%, I understand.
It's almost an Ananda who doesn't say
that. No, that's right. Perhaps.
Because I can live for Dhamma.
Yes. So we request you to stay as long as you
can. Not 200.
up to 100.
200?